Well, good morning again. All right, so here's the deal. We just finished up a really cool series that we talked about. Who do you think you are? And all those messages are online on our website, so you can go and catch yourself up if you missed any of those. I would encourage you to do that because, you know, here's the thing. When you know who you are, you know what to do, right? I mean, that's what we talked about the whole time. When we know, if you know what your job is, if you're a CPA and you know that your job is to take care of numbers and make sure all that works, then you'll know what to do with all of that, right? I can't fathom it, but you would, okay, if that's you, because I'm not very good at math. But if you know what to do, then you'll know what to, if you know who you are, you'll know what to do. And that those two things just roll together. And so I want to encourage you to be able to do that, to know who you are in Christ. And when we know who we are in Christ, we'll know what to do. We'll know the steps to take. We'll know the places that we are to be and those sorts of things. So great series, not because I preach it. It's great because God's Word is all in it, and He helps us to understand those things. So today is kind of an in-between message. As I said, we start up next week kind of on our ascent to Easter. We had kind of building up to Easter Sunday. We'll begin that series next week, and it's I think one of those that's going to help us to really understand some more of who we are. That's kind of my focus for the year, is really, if you ask me, you know, what's your goal this year for our church, it's that we'll be better disciples. And to be a better disciple, you got to know what the one that you're to be following is like. And that's what we're looking at in this thing. But today I want us to really just kind of take a kind of pause on that and talk about something that I think we all struggle with. And something that today is kind of one of those messages where it's not so much of a digging into us as much as it is asking God kind of a big question about where He wants us to go. And so this message is going to be a little bit more teacher-fied, maybe, than some of the others that we do here. But I think when we're done, you'll say, okay, I get it. So here's the thing. I think that a lot of people go through life without a plan. That we spend our lives so much reactive than proactive. Let me make sure you understand that. Reactive means that you're responding to something that's happened. Proactive means that you're doing some things to make other things happen. That you're ahead and that you're kind of leading the pace rather than trying to catch up. And so would most of you agree, probably all maybe, but would most of you agree that most people live their life without a plan? Or is that, you with me, you got me? So I think that's a very common thing. And I find myself sometimes kind of in between, floundering a little bit without what is my plan, and or getting off of my plan and really kind of just not having a direction. I got into this show on TV called Designated Survivor. Anybody watch Designated Survivor? Yeah, if you're a Kiefer Sutherland fan, you got to watch that show. If you like 24, I mean, Kiefer Sutherland is just the man. And I never thought I would say those words. He used to get on my nerves. He just plays these roles so well. But in this, he was the HUD secretary of the government, the Housing and Urban Development Secretary, and he was appointed to be this person that saves the government. Here's how that happens. Believe it or not, our government has a plan. At least about this, okay? I know it's, you know, you guys didn't even know what to think. You didn't know whether to laugh or cry or what when I said that. But they do. They have a plan. And it's this, that if the whole government, when they come together for State of the Unions or all that, if everybody gets wiped out, there's one person who's designated from the government to survive, to keep the government, to keep our country going. Maybe you didn't know that. I didn't know that really, but there's one person that's always left out of all those gatherings so that in case something happens, they'll be okay. And in this case, in this movie, it's based on that. The whole government gets wiped out. He's the only guy that survives, him and one other congressperson. But he becomes the president. And so there's this whole conspiracy along the lines of it, but as you find out, it's a really neat thing. They have a plan for if something happens to everybody in the government. That's kind of a cool thing. I would volunteer for that role probably every time, just, you know, but anyway, that's the deal. And so there is a plan. And so for you and I, like, we need to have a plan too, because listen, stuff happens, right? It just happens. Stuff we don't plan on, stuff we don't foresee coming, stuff that we wish didn't happen happens, and stuff we like happens. And so we need to have a plan for how we go through that. Here's a couple of truths for you, that everyone ends up somewhere. Everyone ends up somewhere. If you want to write that down, it's on your program on the back. Everyone ends up somewhere. Here's the other side of that, though, that few people end up somewhere on purpose. Few people end up somewhere on purpose. And I don't know about you, but I can go back in my life and find that I ended up a lot of places, and it wasn't because it wasn't on purpose. It wasn't because I had a plan. It's because that's what life dealt me, and that's what I had to deal with, right? And so what I want us to kind of work on is that we need to be some of those people that end up somewhere on purpose. How many of you would like to end up completely debt-free one day? Yeah, if you don't raise your hand, like, you're like nuts, okay? I think all of us would want that, right? To not owe anybody anything and to have what we need, just to be able to do whatever with our money and be able to have that moment to be able to just give generously anytime we were asked and all of that. I think all of us would do that. How many would like to just be in great physical shape? I know I'm close, but I do. I want to get completely there. So, how many of you that are married would love to have a perfect marriage? You would love to have a marriage that was just there. You know, yeah, I think all of us would want that if we have that marriage, right? I mean, again, I'm close. Well, you know, if my wife was married to somebody different, she'd have a perfect marriage. But it's the one she's married to that holds her up. So see, wasn't that sweet? That was really nice for me to say. Anyway, so here, how many of you would just like to be so close to God that you knew exactly what it is that He wanted you to do in life? Absolutely. I think we would want those things for our lives, but the thing of it is that none of us are there and have those things really because we don't have a plan for any of those things. We don't pursue them on a way that allows it to happen. We may be close and we may be moving that direction, but we probably not spend a lot of time praying and having the plan. The Bible says this in Proverbs 29:18 that where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, where there's no plan, where there's no looking ahead and seeing things, that the people perish. That means they die. That they never see the things accomplished that they would want to be done and to have accomplished in their lives. The Hebrew word for vision is this word chazon. Chazon is a word that means a dream, a revelation, a vision. It's a word that is there to help us to understand that where there is no dream, no revelation, no vision, that we perish, that we don't ever move forward. We never get to accomplish the things that God wants for us. And so we need to understand that this is something that we should desire, and it should be something that we look for in our lives, that chazon is a thing that God desires for us, that He has put us here to have that. Where there is no chazon, no vision, no dream, no revelation, no nothing looking forward, then there is death. If you don't have a vision for a godly family, guess what? Half the marriages end up in divorce. Think about it. If you don't have it, then why should we be surprised when that happens? Where there's no vision for financial freedom, Though you live in the most well-off country in the world, right? With the most resources and everything else, you live paycheck to paycheck. And you live and you die owing everybody something. Where there's no vision for a godly body, for a healthy body, you end up out of shape and huffing and puffing when you do the most menial of things. It's because we don't have a vision for it. We don't have a plan. When you don't have a vision for a great ministry to make a lasting difference in somebody's lives, you end up stumbling around, hopping from church to church, trying to figure out which church is going to be the one that's going to fix you. Listen, I got to tell you, if you are expecting a church to fix you, you are sadly mistaken. You're going to mess up. Because listen, they're all messed up. Because they're all full of messed up people. Led by messed up people. You know, that's who we are. We all have our issues. But if you're expecting a church to be the answer to your problem, can I just bust your bubble now? It's not the church that can fix you. It is the one, though, that is head of the church that can. And the one that should be the head of the church. And that is the head of this church. Not me, it's God. So we've got to be able to understand that where there's no vision for us to have the things that God wants us to have, then we're going to miss out on things incredibly. God didn't put you here by accident. There is nobody in this room that is an accident. I don't care what you were told when you were a kid. I don't care what you were called or what life seems to have dealt you and all that. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. God's put you here in this place for a very specific time for very specific tasks. Every single one of us has that. Yet we seem to kind of wander around because we don't have any vision for what God does want to do in us. And so that goes for us as individuals, but it also goes for us as a church, because guess what? The church is the people. So if the people don't have a vision, there's no way for the church to have a vision and looking forward to what God has. And so we miss out on doing the things that God wants us to do. Let me ask you this, and let's kind of cap it with, everybody ends up somewhere, right? But few people end up somewhere on purpose. So let me think. So if money wasn't an object, if money was not an object, what would you do with the rest of your life? Okay. All right. I'm not sure that would be probably what most of us should do, but that would be probably what some of us would do. What would you do with the rest of your life? If money wasn't an object, what would you do with the rest of your life? Pastor did a little survey, and he asked a group of people this question: what would you do with the rest of your life if money wasn't an object? And he expected to get a lot of interesting answers, because he was asking a bunch of church folk, right? And so he expected to get a lot of answers like, oh, I would help the homeless. I would help the orphans. I would help, care for people that can't care for themselves. I would do this ministry, or I would do that ministry, right? But when he asked them that question and they wrote it down and they began to look at it, what he found was that most of those people answered questions like, I would buy a new boat. I'd buy a bigger house. I would go on a great vacation. He found that this group of people, as they looked at their circumstances, found that they were focused on something completely different than what he thought they would be focused on. I gotta be honest. I know we got a little distracted there, but when you thought about what you would do with the rest of your life if money was not an object, what did you think? What did it shift to? Because I believe that what takes us to the place where I would get a bigger house, I would get a new boat, I would get, you know, these things, I would go on a vacation, what takes us there is the fact that we don't have a plan or a vision for what God wants for us. We don't plan to be part of ministry because we're not planning to be part of anything. I think a lot of the events that we have at church go without people attending because nobody has a vision or this dream of seeing things happen spiritually in the lives of people around them, maybe even in their own lives. I think today we need to be able to see this vision, this revelation, this dream, this chazon that God has for us. We need to see it bigger than what it is. It needs to be more than just, you know what, my dream is that I make it to church 2 out of 4 Sundays a month. It's got to be bigger than, you know, I did go to Bible study one time last year. It's got to be bigger than I showed up for the meal that we had at church because I was hungry. And they have good food. It's got to be bigger than that. If the church is going to be what the church was designed to be, if you and I are going to be what we were designed to be, our vision has got to be bigger than just these simple things. It's got to be more than just living and dying and paying taxes, okay? It's got to be more than that. So I want us to walk through what this vision, what the steps of coming to this vision look like. Helping us to be able to see that there are some steps that come when we certainly realize that we need to desire God's vision for us, then what does it look like and how do we go through it? Because I think it's time for all of us to just take a moment, and really moments, because I think it's bigger than a moment. But it's time to just kind of step back and say, you know what? What does God want for me? I look around the room and I see some people with amazing gifts and talents and things that I could just see God doing some amazing things through you, but yet I don't see it happening because half the time I don't even get to see you because you're not here. I'm just being straight up with you. That's kind of harsh. I get it. But it's true, okay? I'm never going to stand up here and be fake with you. So here's the thing that God wants to do, and so if we get this vision, if we begin to come to this gathering, because listen, if you have no vision, what happens? You perish. So if you don't have a vision for your marriage, listen, it perishes. If you don't have a vision for your parenting, it perishes. If you don't have a vision for your finances, they perish. If you don't have a vision for your job, it perishes. You may keep your job, but it's gonna stink half the time. You're going to be miserable. So what is it that God wants to do in you? And what's he want to do in me that takes us beyond all of that? But from just existing. Listen, he's got a vision for you. He's got a chazon. And I want us to help us to understand it. So let's look at the 4 stages of chazon. All right? If you look in the Bible, you see David. You see Esther, you see Moses, you see Nehemiah, you see all of them. They all go through these. As God wanted to use them greatly to do great things, they all experience these stages. So listen, it's not just you, it's not just me. This is where God takes us when he wants to do something great in us. And so we're going to look at, in the book of Acts chapter 20, we're going to look at something that Paul said that really helps us to understand what this is. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and get there, your phone app or whatever, or we'll put it on the screen. But in Acts chapter 20, Paul is ministering in Ephesus. He loved those people. He loved being able to hang out with them. God was doing great things there. He just loved being there with them. But what happens is that something changes, and God begins to move him. And so now he's got to go, and he's got to reveal that to these folks. And so here's what happens in Acts chapter 20, beginning of verse 22. He says this. He says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city The Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, love this. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Four phases of kazon. The first one, if you're taking notes, is this, that the Spirit, there's the Spirit's prompting. The Spirit will come and will prompt you and tell you that there is something that he has for you to do. That there is some steps that you need to take, some place that he wants you to go to do something great. When you look at verse 22, the first part, and Paul says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem." In other words, this isn't my idea. This isn't what necessarily I want to do, but this is what God wants me to do, that he's come on, he's told me that I need to do something. He's compelled by the Spirit. The phrase there is translated into the words deo-pneuma. Deo-pneuma. The word compelled and Spirit. Compelled by the Spirit. Deo-pneuma. Therefore compelled means bound. Compelled, bound, wrapped up with cords. That there's a pushing and a pulling that's taking place to get there. And then the Spirit, pneuma, is a current of air or a breeze of the Spirit. That this there's this movement of air, there's this pushing along of the Spirit that I have to follow. That is compelling me to do what needs to happen. Many of you have had that. You've experienced it. You may not have, you didn't call it a deo-pneuma, okay? I don't walk around and say, man, I had a deo-pneuma today. People are like, what in the world is that? You probably should see a doctor about that, you know? But it's this movement of the Spirit. It's like, you know that God has told you it's that there is something that you need to do that may be bigger than you and outside of you, but you need to do it. I liken it to you walk into a mall, and there's a Cinnabon in the mall. And you know, it's like the cartoon where you see the scent kind of come along and you just begin to follow it to wherever, and you don't even know how you get there. You just find yourself slobbering on the glass at the Cinnabon place, you know, just running down all over you, and you just got to get one. You know, that's, oh, I must be the only one. Really? Okay, so you drive by Krispy Kreme and the red light comes on, right? I'm like, oh my goodness, you know? Like, it's just, man, it makes me, if somebody can show up here with a dozen donuts, I got $100, I'll give you. No, I really don't, but you can go get some anyway, we'll eat them. But it's like this prompting, you know? Like the Spirit turns on the hot donuts now sign, and you know that there is something that you got to do, you know? And did anybody get green donuts, by the way, this week? Oh, my gosh, this just looks nasty. I'm sorry. But anyway, sorry, that was just a little rabbit I had to chase because it was on my mind. So I'll be thinking of donuts all day now. But there's this compelling, this movement of that there's something that has to be done. That you know that God is saying, listen, this is what I want you to do. I think of times that God has moved in my life like that, where I knew there was this, you know, like Paul says, listen, I got to go. You know, I think about when the first time I saw my wife walking across the lobby of the church in Greensboro, there was a movement of the Spirit in me, and I said, that woman needs a husband, okay? I knew it. I just had to convince her of that, and it took me 6 years. But anyway, so, oh, that's a long story. But anyway, so, but I remember that. God clearly said, that's going to be your wife one day. I'm just saying, it really did happen that way. The second one is when God called me to do into the ministry. It became very clear that there was this movement happening within me that was not of me, that I would have never on my own said, hey, I think I'll be a preacher today. Would have never. And I laughed when I was invited to become a minister in the first place. But God said, no, there's something I need you to do. And then I think about when God said, you need to take this body in Albemarle and you need to carry on. And you need to, it's going to be, you are a community church and you're going to continue on because there's something greater I have for this body and this community. And this scared to death. I said yes, because I knew it was like Paul. I was compelled by the Spirit. It wasn't me. It wasn't what I wanted to do, but it was what he wanted me to do. And I think about those moments. And so if you've never felt a moving of the Spirit in you like that, let me tell you that if you're a believer in Christ, that he has those visions for you. It's time to get close to him and begin to understand who he is and begin to be able to hear and discern those movements. Seek him. Seek him in his word. Look at the gifts he's given you and look for where you're passionate, where he moves you towards your passions. And there will be great things that he will do there in your life. The second one is this, the second phase will be certain uncertainty. When you follow after the vision that God has given you, there will be certain uncertainty. Okay, you can count on that there will be things that you are not going to know all the answers to do it. You're just going to know that you're supposed to do it, and so you got to be willing to go. When God said, you know, I was pastoring and leading a campus in Denton, you know, as crazy as it was to get me there, then he said, listen, it's time to go. Go do something. I've got something else for you. And not only is it going to just be that you're going to go pastor another campus somewhere of High Rock, you're going to have to pack up and move there. That was not in my plans, y'all. But I knew that was God moving us and compelling us to be where he wants us to be. Acts 20, verse 22, the second half says, I'm going to Jerusalem not knowing what will happen to me there. I had no idea what was going to happen when we got here. We didn't have a house. We didn't know where we were going to live. We didn't know who was going to come. We didn't know how it was going to work out. It was a lot of things that I didn't have a clue what it was going to look like. I just knew that God said, go do it. And for you, there's going to be moments where he's just going to say, listen, I've got something for you to do, and you got to go do it. And you can't sit around and be like, well, God, what about this? And what about that? Can you tell me this? Can you tell me that? He's not going to tell you all the details, I promise. Because here's why. Because we couldn't handle them. If he had told me all the things that were going to happen to me over the last 5.5 years, I got to believe that it would have been a 50-50 shot for me to come and do what I did. I'm just looking back. I'm not sure that I would do it again. The emotional hurts and the toll that it has taken on me and my family sometimes, I'm not sure I would do that on my own. I'm just being honest about it. It's difficult. There's some things that God's going to call you to do that's going to be difficult, and they're going to put some strain on you and your family, and you're going to be like, God, what in the world did you put me in? But listen, you just need to know there's some certain uncertainty. You can't worry about those things. You just got to know that he's told you to go, and listen, he's never let me down in all of that. In all of those hurts and all of those things, man, all of the great things completely outweigh it. To see people come to Christ, to see people come out of addictions, to see marriages get healed back together, and to see, man, I'm just telling you, it's all worth it. If I look at it on my own, I say it's 50-50. If I look at it knowing that God said do it, I'm 100% in again. Because he's got great things for us. And you need to know that when he calls you to do something, when he tells you, I want you to do this, he's got you. If you'll just trust him and follow him, there will be certain uncertainty, but he will definitely be faithful and never leave you hanging when you follow him. You need to understand that. When he gives you this prompting of the Spirit and you know there's certain uncertainty, listen, the only thing I can tell you is, listen, when you just take the next step. Next steps are important. That's why at the end of every message that we do here, we invite you to take a next step. Because those are one step closer to being where God wants you to be. One step closer to experiencing all that He has for you. It's not just something I want to do because I want to put it on paper. Because I just want to make you do something. It's not because I just want you to, I want to be able to, you know, to hopefully get some response because it makes me feel better. No, it's because you take a step closer to what God has for you, to the person that He has created you to be and for the purposes that He's created you for. That's why we do that. So we got to be willing to take next steps. And here's kind of the mindset of that. It's this phrase that every time I say it blows my mind, but it's just one of those things. I will do today what I can do to enable me to do tomorrow what I can't do today. I will do today what I can do today to enable me to do tomorrow what I can't do today. You see, there are steps you got to take today to be able to do something tomorrow that you couldn't do today. We can't just, you can't put a team together and go play the Super Bowl. No, you got to put the team together. You got to practice. You got to put a game plan together. And so there's things you have to do today that get you to tomorrow so that God can use you in a greater way. And so for some of us, we're wanting to skip over a bunch of the steps. But I'm just telling you that you got to be willing to do today what needs to be done so that you can get to tomorrow and be able to do a little bit more. It's a step at a time. God gives us this deonumo, this vision, this chazon that compels us towards something that we've got to be able to just move forward. I don't know what that looks like for you, but for me, one of the things I've started to do is just, I take sticky notes, and I've got this little notebook with sticky notes stuck all in it. And it's the vision, it's the things that God says, listen, this is what I want to happen. This is what I want you to do. This is what's next. And so I write those things down on a sticky note. And then under it, I put a sticky note that's got the next, what do I need to do after that? What's my next step? And I write that next step down until we get that next step done. You know, when it gets done, then I pray, and then He gives the next. And so I've been really just kind of digging into this thing and really following along. And so for you, maybe it's just, you know, maybe you just need to do it. Just write it down somewhere and begin to just put some things under it as God reveals it to you to get you to the next place. If it's if God says, listen, I want your marriage to be all that I created it to be, then maybe that's, you know, you write that down. I want my marriage to be what God wants it to be. And so then, well, what's my next step? Well, I need to pray with my spouse. I need to go get a devotion so we can read it together. I need to make her, you know, I need to keep her, make her stay up so I can read it to her. I need to do it before she gets so worn out she can't do it. Or whatever it is for you, that you got to write these things down, because knowing there's going to be some certain uncertainty, you got to put it in place. The third one is this, that there's going to be predictable resistance. There's going to be predictable resistance. As you step out and begin to write those things down and you begin to take steps to make it happen, there are things that are going to come against you. In verse 23 of Acts 20, it says this, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that blessings and pleasures are to come. Is that what Paul said? No. He said, listen, only thing I know is this is going to be tough. It's going to stink for a while. Because all I know is what's coming towards me is hardships and prison. And, you know, he knows that that means beatings. That means that it's going to be rough. And for you and me, we need to know that it's going to be rough. When we follow after God, there's going to be predictable resistance. If you decide that you want your marriage to be better and you begin to write these things down and you begin to put them in place and you say, you know what, I need to pray with my wife, so I'm going to start praying with her. And the next thing you know, she's slapping you upside the head because she don't like the way you pray. You need to, you know, she's not going to like the words. I'm just kidding. You know, but the kids are going to rush in the middle of your prayer. Or the phone's going to ring. Or something's going to happen, and before long you miss one night, and then you miss two nights, and then, you know, 10 years later, you think you ought to get back to that prayer. I'm guilty. It happens. You decide that you want to be financially, you know, responsible, and God says, listen, I want your finances in order, because I want you to be part of doing things financially, you know? And so you begin to do that. You begin to put the finances in place, and guess what? Water pump. The demon of water pumps is going to attack. And that water pump's going out, and there goes your money that you decided to put back. You got to decide, are you going to continue to put it back, or are you going to, you know, you got to do both, really, right? You got to find somewhere else to find the money. But it's going to come. Things are going to happen. Decide you want to finally get in shape. I'm going to go on that diet. I'm going to get in better shape, man. And Twinkies go on sale for 75% off. Happens to me all the time. There's always going to be resistance. It's predictable, right? Why do we get so caught off guard when we decide we're going to do something right and things go wrong? Because it's going to happen. There is an enemy that doesn't want us to do what God wants us to do, y'all. Hello? He's not really the little guy in the red suit with the little pitchfork and the pointy tail. And you know, that's not him. He's not this cute little character who just hangs around to sit on one shoulder to entice you to do something else. No, he is a formidable enemy that does not want the will of God to happen in your life. And that's about as old school preaching as you're probably ever going to hear me get. There, I pounded on my pulpit. But I'm telling you, he really is no laughing matter. He does not want us to be where God wants us to be. There's times where we got to confront what's going on, knowing that, you know, sometimes the predictable resistance is our own decisions that put us in a place that isn't where God wants us to be. You need to know that there are going to be temptations that will come, and you have to choose, do you follow after them or do you follow what God wants you to do? That's the reality of it. I think about, you know, Moses. Moses was told to go deliver the Israelites. Predictable resistance was Pharaoh. He was all in the way. Didn't want it to happen. You think about Nehemiah and old Sanballat and Tobias. You know, those guys that got all in the way, I think it was just because they were mad about their names. But anyway, they just had to mess things up. You know, we think about Joseph. And, you know, his brothers are like, man, we like your coat, but we don't like you. And so they got all in the way. There's always going to be resistance when God wants to do something great in your life. You just need to understand that. Be ready for it. Be on guard. And if there's anything that I think can be a predictable resistance in our day and time is this. It's the I'm too busy. I don't have times, right? Those things are in the way. We need to be expecting them, and we need to be able to deal with them if we're going to be able to move on and see this vision accomplished in our lives that God wants to happen. The fourth thing is this. When you get through all that, then there's uncommon clarity. This is where God wants us to be. We're going to have to go through the Spirit's prompting. We're going to have to go through the certain uncertainties. We're going to have to go through the predictable resistance, but God wants us to get to the uncommon clarity of the moment. This is where he wants us to be. Verse 24. You know, people say, Ron, what's your favorite verse in the Bible? I'm kind of partial to all of them. You know, because God kind of wrote those to us to help us through, you know. I mean, I know we all have our favorites. We all have these ones that really mean something. I get that. But they're all really good. But one of them that really stands out to me is one that God actually used Kelly, my wife, to really kind of infuse into my life early on in our marriage. And it's Acts 20, 24. It's the last part of this where Paul says, listen, I've been told I've got to go. The Spirit's leading me. I don't know what's going to happen. But I know, you know, all I know is that there's going to be hardships in prison. But he says this in verse 24. However, All right, I know all that's happening, and I'm not sure about it, but however, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus Christ has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. He says, listen, however, I consider my life not worth anything. That, listen, you can kill me, but my life, it doesn't matter in all of this because God's got something greater. That there's a task that I need, that I've been given, that I need to accomplish, and no matter what, that it's greater than me. And listen, y'all, as a church, as a believer in Jesus, as somebody who calls themselves, remember we talked about being called a Christian, but in the last message, but the, you know, if we call ourselves a follower, a disciple of Jesus, that we've been given something way bigger than us. And we're to understand that Paul got it. There's something bigger than me. It's a task of telling people about Jesus. It's why we as a church say that our mission is to help people develop a love for God, a love for others, and a love for sharing the good news of Jesus. It's important that we have a love for that because we've been called to do that. Paul says, I my life is not worth anything, but I got to finish this task. I got to finish this vision that God's given me, this chazon that I've got, that there is something that I need to do moving forward. So I'll tell you that he has something for us. He wants us to come to an uncommon clarity of understanding that we've got to get through the stages to be able to move towards seeing it happen. And it's going to take us having an attitude of, listen, it's bigger than me, but I know God wants to use me. He wants to do this in my life. And while he's doing that, he's going to come alongside me and he's going to help me become the person that I need to be to see it happen. A lot of the things that we're dealing with in our lives that we're struggling with fall into this, into the certain uncertainties, right? And we get stuck there because we want our lives to be perfect. But listen, anybody got a perfect life in here? Yeah, it doesn't happen. Okay? We got to do our best to live towards it, but there's always going to be issues and there's always going to be problems. Jesus was very clear that in this life that we would have trouble, okay? But it's how we deal with trouble and who we deal with trouble with that make it bearable and make it livable, that we come outside with great hope and expectation for something greater. We need to be able to move on. Nehemiah got that when Sanballat and Tobias came to him and said, listen, hey, we want to have a meeting with you. We want to have a meeting. Nehemiah says this in chapter 6, verse 3. He said, so I sent messages to them saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? He's like, listen, man, you could tell these people what you got to say, but I don't have time to stop what I'm doing because I've got something to do. And sometimes we get so sidetracked in the craziness of life that we get so off track of what God wants us to do. Let me just tell you that we've got to stay focused. We've got to stay with this uncommon clarity to be able to know that God wants to use us to do the things that he has set forth for us to do. There's going to be a spirit's prompting in your life. If you're a believer in Christ, he's got something for you. If you're not a believer in Christ, he's got something for you. It's just you've got to step in between to realize that, and that's to come to him and realize that he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross, pay the price for your sin so that you could be forgiven of your sin and set free and come into a relationship with him that he's always wanted to have with you for all eternity. When you have that moment and when you understand that, then listen, he opens the door then to begin to use you and to lead you towards what it is he has for you. He wants to prompt you. He wants you to know that, listen, there's going to be uncertain things that are going to happen. There's going to be resistance that's going to come along and try to get you off track. But listen, if you'll hang in there and you'll keep following him, that there is a clarity that will come because you can understand that it's bigger than you and it's all about him. And that's where he wants us to be. What is it that he has for you? What is the plan that you need to make? What is it? If money wasn't an object, what is it that God would do in your life? What would he use you to do? Where would he take you? Who would he use you to minister to? How would he take the passions and the gifts and all the things that he's given you? How would he use those to change this world? You might think you're just one person. I'm telling you, there's a lot of one persons in this world that have done amazing things because they just were obedient. You get to decide. Do you follow through? Here's a prayer. Sir Francis Drake prayed this prayer, and I've been praying it for us as a church. Here's what it says: "Disturbeth, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves. When our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little. When we arrived safely because we sailed too close to the shore." Let me ask you, is your cazon too small? Is your dream, the vision that you have for your life, for what God could and wants to do through you, is it too small? If it's small enough that you believe you can do it, it's too small. Because you can do it. And anything that he wants to do is going to take more than just me or you. It's going to take us and him. Have you dreamed too little? Have you stayed too close to the shore? Just stayed comfortable? It's easy to do. It's easy to be safe. But if we're going to live out the passion and the vision and all the things that God wants for us, we're going to have to put out into deep water. We're going to have to go into a place where we never thought we'd go. Are you willing to go there? Are you willing to let him put his vision in your life and to see it through? Let's pray. God, we thank you today that, God, that you do have a plan for us. You have a vision that takes us beyond anything that we can even imagine. God, that you want to do great things in us and through us. And God, today I pray that as we are here, God, just looking for answers. God, surely today people came in for answers to their problems, answers to the difficulties that they're facing, answers to the questions that they have. God, I don't know that there's any greater question that we can answer than is our life with you right? God, have we made a decision to accept your son Jesus as our Savior and to confess our sin, repent of it, and then just trust him to be the one that guides us? God, if there's someone here today that's never made that decision, I pray that they'll decide that now. God, for those that are in the room that maybe haven't dreamed big enough, though they follow you, God, they followed you safely, close to the shore. And God, you said, listen, I want to take your feet farther out. I want to take you out where I want you to be, where you have to depend on me and not on yourselves. God, for anyone in the room that has dreamed small and stayed close, God, I pray today would be the day that you move in them and they allow you to do something greater. God, for those in the room that God, just need to confess where they've been, what they've been doing that hasn't lived up to what you want for them, God, then may that happen today. God, whatever you need to do in our lives, may today just be a day of freedom. God, take us and do whatever. God, take our church. God, expand where we reach, who we have opportunities to minister to, God. Just use us, however. And we pray this. We pray this in the name of the one who gave everything for us. We pray it in the name of Jesus.